What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host is Thomas Drantz. He covers the team for The Athletic as well.
It's me.
I don't know why I said that as if it would be a surprise.
You really spat it out. My co-host, Thomas Drantz.
No, I was like, my co-host is, as if it was up in the air. It was a question. Like, who's it going to be today? Oh, it's Drantz.
Yeah, my co-host, no longer on the program after the Peter North incident from yesterday's crossover.
No, we're all still employed. It's very exciting. Anyway,
by the absolute skin of our teeth.
That's Thomas Drantz. Yeah, the way Canberra showed up at the door after that segment. I was like, uh-oh. We are broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, working together with you in step. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you, or online at dunbarlumber.com. Canucks game day, they're taking on the San Jose Sharks. Macklin Celebrini and the San Jose Sharks and Will Smith down in San Jose tonight at 7:30.
And Will Smith.
Yeah.
And William Eklund.
Sure.
Are we just naming guys? Shakir Mack.
No, I think it's fair to say. Oh, yeah. The other piece of the JT Miller trade, the first round pick.
Let's get into that a little bit. I want to talk revisionist history around the original JT Miller trade in the wake of the second
one. The new JT Miller trade.
The new JT Miller
trade. Which we can relitigate in 5 years or so.
Oh, we can also relitigate it all day, every day. That's what we're going to do all summer. Let's be real. Especially in the wake of another big Rangers win. Anyway, Will Smith, though. Come on. Why are you spotlighting him over Eklund?
You don't think they're more excited about Will Smith?
I don't think they should be.
All right. Well, I think they are.
Dude, anyways, how good is William Eklund?
All right. Well, fine. We're going to talk to Dan Rusinowski, Sharks play-by-play guy. So you can get into it.
I will.
You can admonish him.
Why would I? I mean, whatever. Like, you know, it's not like Will Smith's moved from West Philadelphia. Like, I just don't understand why we'd be all pumped about this when he's significantly inferior tonight. Like, 3 years from now, if you're like Will Smith, Macklin, Celebrini, fair. But tonight,
all right,
it's Eklund, baby.
I'm just saying, for the future, they're way more excited. They're way higher on Will Smith. Bigger part of their future than Eklund.
I think. I don't think they should be.
Okay.
It's only a 3 year age gap between them.
Yeah.
Eklund's sick, man.
All right. Anyways, and 1:30 it'll be Brendan Batchelor from Sportsnet 650 to help us get set up for the game as well. Before we do any of that, let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks today, February 6th. The headline is Canucks sign Marcus Pettersson to a 6-year, $5.5 million AAV extension, full no trade in the first 3 years, modified 15-team no trade clause after that. And we heard instantly, and we expected, as soon as they made the deal on Friday for Marcus Pettersson and Drew O'Connor, that both of those guys, they were going to try to re-sign. Pettersson would be the priority, and they waste very, very little time in getting it done quickly. And I will say, getting it done quickly without having to pay a massive premium as a result of the leverage that Pettersson had as a result of that trade.
Yeah,
right? Like, you see in these situations, you acquire a pending unrestricted free agent, and it's like, well, you better sign me now. You're like, I have a whole bunch of leverage here, and it didn't push the price up prohibitively in this situation.
Yeah, you know, Esa Lindell is roughly a 25 to 30 point left-handed, you know, second pair defenseman on a championship caliber team. I don't think there's a huge difference in caliber between those two guys. I think Marcus Pettersson's a little bit better defensively. Esa Lindell has a way bigger shot, way more likely to score for you, and is probably more physical, right? Is more like traditionally hockey tough, whereas Marcus Pettersson is honestly one of the toughest guys in the league in his own lane. It's just a different type of hockey toughness. And so, Now think about this. Esa Lindell, long tenured star, no tax state, right? Contending team before the season. So really getting the deal done is like helpful to him. And Pettersson, Canadian team, has only been here a week, doesn't even have his stuff here yet. team had all the leverage, or Heat player had all the leverage to the point where really he's doing them a favor agreeing to a relatively quick deal.
Absolutely.
Makes the trade easier to swallow locally. Like, really, he's doing the team a favor.
He's foregoing unrestricted free agency. That's a big deal.
Unrestricted free agency in a $95.5 million cap environment where the top UFA defenseman is. Yeah, you don't even know. Not even a guy. Like, it doesn't even matter, right? It's like Brent Burns or something. Dmitry Orlov. I liked him in Nosferatu. Anyway, the truth is that given those leverage dynamics, to come in just 0.25 million north of where Lindell signed for and an extra year, which is material, right? Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I mean, that's phenomenal work. I would have expected 6+. I sort of thought 6.5 should be our baseline expectation. Canucks can beat that. Canucks can pay a little more. But that's kind of where I would have set sort of my median expectation, given the cap news, given the tax rate, given the leverage dynamics at play here, to come in at 5.5. Excellent stuff from Vancouver. Now, is worth noting, like, the no-move protection is pretty robust. Three years full no-move.
Full no-trade, yeah.
I mean, you know, we'll talk more about no moves as this show goes along because there's a nuanced point I want to get into. But no moves, and NMC is pretty rare. Like, for example, Roberto Luongo in Vancouver, his deal didn't have an NMC. Ryan Kesler never had an NMC during his time in Vancouver. Edler did, but it was only on that very final contract.
They're a relatively recent innovation, the proliferation of them. As you're going back to the Luongo stuff.
No, but the Twins had one.
Sure, but not. But even that was on a later deal, I'm pretty sure.
No, the $6.1 million. Okay. The big one they signed in 08 had no move.
Okay.
Point being, like, no move clauses are pretty rare. He gets a full no move and a 15-team no trade years four through six. That's a robust amount of trade protection. I mean, at any given point, you can just basically put all the playoff teams, you know, all your expected playoff teams before the year on the list and make it pretty difficult for you to get moved in season. He also has $10 million in signing bonus on this contract, all stacked toward the latter stages. So it's not buyout proof, but it's going to be an arduous deal to buy out. That helps guarantee the full value of the contract, at least in the current CBA environment. So I understand why the player would have liked this stability. It's a very stable deal. It's a very safe investment for Marcus Pettersson, like the player and his representative Peter Wallin. But man, it's still really good for the Canucks to be able to lock this guy up, actually have, you know, a caliber of blue line group that we're intrigued by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, partly because of how Pettersson changes the complexion of their current on paper top four, but also because of what this team now has coming with a variety of, like, veteran defenders who you love the idea of pairing younger players with as they learn the ropes and get their feet wet at the NHL level. I mean, could you imagine a better fit for Villander's development? Like, don't go up with Hughes and we'll, you know, have the, like, stress and pressure to produce. Get comfortable with your, you know, your countrymen.
Super reliable defensively.
Yeah.
Who can
also
help move the puck.
Take some chances if you want, young buck. We've got Marcus Pettersson back there. So love this move. Love the way it came in. I think that's tidy work, actually, for the Canucks front office.
Yeah, and should mention, you know, Marcus Pettersson did a Zoom call with the media today, and he referenced his familiarity with the management group, of course, from Pittsburgh, with Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin as playing a role in getting this done. And, you know, I thought it was interesting as well, in Patrick Alvin's statement after the signing last night, immediately references Marcus Pettersson's leadership, poise, and character, and says that it's been evident in just a couple of games with the team. So I think it speaks pretty highly. And we saw the quote that Jim Rutherford gave to Josh Yoey after the acquisition, where he's like, I love trading for Marcus Pettersson. I love this guy.
It worked out so well the first time.
I'll do it again.
I also really loved, after the Pettersson is a five discussion, partly because he doesn't move the puck well enough, the Patrick Alvin quote in the press release specified specifically that he's a top four and that they love the way he moves the puck. I thought that was a really funny note, whether intentional or not. Hilarious.
It was good. Good press release from Patrick Alvin. So the Canucks get Marcus Pettersson locked up to a 6-year deal kicking in next year. Of course, he was a pending unrestricted free agent. Other headline tonight, the Canucks play the Sharks in San Jose, 7:30 puck drop. for this one down in San Jose. And I mean, really, there's no other way to phrase this. It's just a huge opportunity to get 2 points with the Canucks in the thick of a playoff race, still tied with the Calgary Flames. And you're going up against the team with the worst points percentage in the NHL, the worst goal differential in the NHL. Yes, they have very, very exciting young player in Macklin Celebrini, to say the least. Some other exciting young talent as well. But I mean, they just traded away Granlund and CeCe, two of their veteran players. This is a, I don't say must win in the terms of the stakes being huge, but if you fancy yourself a playoff team and you've got these good vibes going and you're trying to turn the page after a difficult first part of the season, these are the games you really just have to go and take care of business in.
Yeah. They're, you cannot be leaving points on the table against the San Jose's of the world in a, you know, still tightly contested race with the Calgary Flames team that we think you're better than, but you're not better than them if you're dropping points at this time of the year to San Jose. You need to be on your game, especially because the San Jose team can attack with speed, right? They can cause problems for their opponents. There are NHL players up and down the lineup, even if they've lost a couple of them in Cody Ceci and Mikhail Granlund. I always want to call him Marcus. And so, yeah, I mean, good vibes around this team. They've played two really complete, or had two really complete five-on-five efforts. They're controlling play. I think a lot of fans are excited about a lot of stuff they're seeing from the newcomers and the defenseman, Elias Pettersson. But, I mean, I'm not going to say must win, but if you're making the playoffs, this is one you can't afford to lose.
A text comes in from LJ calling it a trap game.
Nah.
I don't know. I mean, I think, like, I get that anytime you're going up against a team at the bottom of the standings, and yes, it's almost at a break, and Toronto on Saturday, I kind of understand that.
Canucks aren't playing well enough this season to be trapped.
No, and I think it was either Reach or Sat yesterday on Canucks Central that said, like, it's as if they're getting the new coach bump right now without actually changing the coach.
Right.
That's kind of how it feels, and you hope that that dynamic, the vibe shift here for the Vancouver Canucks, mitigates against treating it as a trap game. But the vibes are good enough, you're feeling good enough, you want to keep on the roll, that you don't view this as a trap game. We should mention, of course, also that no Quinn Hughes for the Canucks today in San Jose, who won't make the trip, as we discussed on the show yesterday. Vitek Vanacek gets the start for San Jose in net.
And always a break when you're not facing Askarov. As mistake-prone as he is, the ceiling performances from him. And we saw him almost give the Canucks a really tough time in that game before Christmas, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Elliot Friedman, moving on to the broadsheet in 32 Thoughts today, reports that the Canucks kind of outbid a couple of Western rivals, including Vegas and Edmonton, for Drew O'Connor from Pittsburgh. I think the phrase he used was out-wrestled, and also notes that the Canucks plan to extend him as well. So, you know, one of the interesting dynamics with the Marcus Pettersson extension, we talked about it on the crossover yesterday with Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal, is it's hard not to notice how differently they're approaching first Marcus Pettersson and now maybe Drew O'Connor versus how they're approaching Brock Besser as a pending unrestricted free agent. And at least, you know, with Marcus Pettersson, you can say, well, he's a defenseman and that market's different. If you're going out and really proactively getting Drew O'Connor done, a winger that you just brought in as well, and a winger who plays farther down the lineup, you know, I don't have a problem with that. You traded for him as a pending unrestricted free agent. Obviously, you want to get him locked up, but it's also the kind of thing that really kind of doubles down on that implicit message about how you see Brock Besser and where he slots in your priorities right now.
Yeah, and look, both sides have a good idea of the numbers involved, and, you know, you can understand, I think, why, given the magnitude of the change in direction that the Canucks just authored, locking up the highest value asset returned in trading JT Miller was top billing, frankly. So I'm not pushing back. I think, you know, we've seen that this club can drag things out and they can get things done awfully quick when they want to. And if you're a player in Brock Besser's shoes, you're like, okay, well, I saw Bo Horvat go through this. I know what it looks like when they don't sign a guy. I know how this drags out with this club when they're on the fence. And I know what it looks like when they want to sign Marcus Pettersson or JT Miller. and how quickly that can get done. And certainly I'm reading into it, but I think the idea of putting words like disrespect or, you know, I think.
Did I say that?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Because I don't think it's disrespectful.
No.
Because here's the thing.
It's perfectly sensible.
It can be upsetting for Brock Besser, or, you know, he can feel slighted by it for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
But
I would.
They're not mandated to give him a deal. Like, no. And the other thing is, as much as you can look at it as a slight to Brock Besser, like the down case scenario for Besser is he hits unrestricted free agency at 28 as a recent 40 goal scorer. You know what I mean? Like, that's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
So even if he does feel a little bit insulted by how the Canucks are going about their business here, it's hard to have too much sympathy because, again, the upshot is, well, then you get to be an unrestricted free agent and choose where you want to play and have all these teams bidding for your services.
Then you get to field an 8.5 times $7 million offer from Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, Besser's in a good spot, whatever the Canucks decide to do here. But I do think the fact that he hasn't been front of the order business is notable.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, and I think it also is probably a form of message sending as well about, like, hey, we've drawn our line in the sand and we're sticking to it. And that's why we're taking care of all this other business rather than prioritizing this deal and rather than maybe budging to get it done. It's we're going to take care of these other things first.
I will say, too, I am a little you know what? We'll get into it later.
All right.
Dovetails with the Susie Pedersen stuff I want to talk about.
Just quickly on Susie, one more mention here in the broadsheet to Elliot Friedman saying that Calgary might make sense for Carson Susie.
Yeah,
of course, he's from Alberta.
That defense core is iffy.
Yeah, but he does note they want to see what they have in the young player Ilya Solovyov.
No, isn't it Sokolov?
There's no K in it.
Okay.
So,
guess not.
Who knows? Solovyov, I guess we'll go with for now. But young defenseman that they recently called up. So,
are you sure there's no K?
I'm looking at it at Puckpedia right now. I don't see a K. Unless they got it wrong.
I don't know.
You never know. I trust them, though.
Yeah, me too.
So, something to note there, of course, with Carson Soucy being from Alberta, with the need on the blue line, with Calgary's kind of constant, like, retool, always looking for veterans but young players at the same time, like, Calgary just always seems kind of open for business. So one to monitor there, one to see where it goes from Elliot Friedman with Carson Soucy. Lineup notes here, didn't see any reports from, I think they did skate down in San Jose today, I'm not sure if it was an optional or what, but of course with this short trip, not a lot of media down there covering it, so didn't see updated lineup notes or anything like that from the morning skate. From yesterday, it was going to be Pedersen with DeBrusk and Garland, Hedel with O'Connor and Besser, Suter with Joshua and Sherwood,
Suda,
Bluger with Nils Höglander and Nils Åman making his return to the lineup on the fourth line, and then same defensive Bears, Forbert, Hronek, Marcus Pedersen, Tyler Myers, Elias Pedersen with Carson Soucy on his offside. Of course, no Quinn Hughes, as we mentioned, and you would expect repeat for Thatcher Demko after the shutout? I would think so. Although, Saturday game coming up against the Leafs, do they get Lankinen in and then get Demko that one?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect Demko tonight.
I would expect Demko.
Yeah.
Coming off a shutout?
He's finally had, like, a game to build off.
Yeah.
I think you want to see how far he can take that, don't you?
I would.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. I was just curious about the high-profile game on a Saturday.
Well, I think he can get both.
All right.
Right? I don't think you're too worried about it. With Lankinen?
Yeah, that's fair. Playoff standings update, no changes, no real relevant games on the schedule last night, so the Canucks still with an 81% chance to make the playoffs. They are tied 59 points in 53 games with the Calgary Flames. Calgary does play tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. They host the Avalanche, so the Canucks just picked up 2 points against Colorado. We'll see what Calgary can do against them tonight.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot for the Flames. My internet is bad, so I can't pull up these betting odds, unfortunately. Oh, there we go. I got it. The Canucks are favored pretty heavily in San Jose tonight, as they should be. Opened -218, now at -200. Can get them at -205 at some books, but -200 looks to be the best price listed. Sharks +170 on the money line to win. I like the over, by the way, almost regardless of what it is. The over is officially...
Someone texted in that it was 5.5.
5.5.
Yeah.
With, with steam on the over, obviously, -120, but I think those. I think that's a decent one. I think the Sharks have the sort of speed that has given Vancouver trouble, especially their best players off the rush. So I think they
can
score.
Well, plus the Sharks' defensive game. So can the Canucks put some goals past them?
Yeah, I mean, the Canucks are actually generating shots right now. So
that's nice.
It's really fun. Team looks like they have some juice. Let's hope it's sustained.
I am excited to watch this game tonight.
For the first time in a long time, me too.
I was excited to watch the Colorado one too, but I also...
No, but I was excited to watch McKinnon.
Sure. What I really want to see is Quinn Hughes. See if they can maintain this form where they are generating shots and it looks so much faster and crisper and the effort is there, maintain that. And then if you can add Quinn Hughes to it, that's something that I'm very, very curious to see and what that is going to look like. Who knows if we get it on Saturday, if we have to wait for after the Four Nations. We'll see if there's any other details that come out about Quinn Hughes's potential participation in the Four Nations at this point. We're you know, kind of monitoring that. Sidney Crosby for Team Canada as well. We'll let you know if anything changes on either of those fronts. But yeah, man, if you can be doing what they've been doing through these last couple of games without Quinn Hughes on the ice and then add the best defenseman in the game on top of it, that starts to get pretty interesting for the Canucks.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like stuff in terms of sustainability of individual performances that I'm really curious or that I really want to get into when we have our open segment toward the end of the show.
All right. We'll take a break here in just a second. First, I got to tell you about JanPro. From warehouses to washrooms and everywhere in between, JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. Dan Ruzanowski, play-by-play voice of the San Jose Sharks. He joins us next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.